Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Reviewing a mock draft today. We drafted for the first time since January, I believe, except for the dynasty drafts that you put together. Great start to the week here. Adam Azar, Heath Cummings, and Jamie Eisenberg. Yeah, but we did do a draft, just a regular redraft league. And TJ Hockenson up 33 spots from the one we did in January. Mike Davis up 8 rounds. Chase Edmonds up 22 picks. Will Fuller down 14 picks. Some of the noteworthy moves that we saw post-free agency. Some of them made sense, some of them did not. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you are enjoying March Madness. It's been a lot of fun. We have a brewing controversy involving our March Madness pool. I will tell you about that later. What's up, Heath?
Oh, that's exactly what I was hoping that the brewing controversy was going to be about. I didn't want to bring it up for fear of, and this is a good job by you, of jinxing me. But no, it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah. All right. We'll let him brag a little bit later. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
Hi. Jamie and I are on tilt a little bit because we are doing a baseball draft and Chris took our guy. Anyway, back to football here. We did a Twitter poll, so we'll get to the draft. Before we get to the draft, we'll talk about the 17-game season. We'll talk about Sammy Watkins going to the Ravens and what that means for the Ravens, what that means for the Chiefs. But first, interesting Twitter poll. Who are you drafting first in a half PPR league, Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette? Jamie made it very clear he's going Leonard Fournette. Heath, half PPR, Fournette or Jones?
I think you have to go Fournette, and especially in anything that counts catches, just because his role in the passing game was so much bigger than Ronald Jones in the games they played together. I counted 13 games, including the playoffs, where they were both available, and Fournette had 56 targets in those 13 games. That's a huge role in the passing game. And then you look at the way he finished so strong. I mean, in the regular season, they were pretty much only good when one of them was gone, but they were both available those last three playoff games and Fournette was just dominant. So I don't think you'll see that, but I think there's more potential, and in anything where catches count, there's a higher floor for Fournette as well.
Okay. So you're both going Fournette. The poll.
There's no reason to think that Tampa Bay is going to start with Jones as the primary guy.
Okay, well, just to let you know, the Twitter followers were very split. 51% Ronald Jones, 49% Leonard Fournette.
It's fair.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Heath, they basically were only good when one wasn't there, except for in the playoffs. That's almost exactly right. When one of them was out, I mentioned this on our Friday show, they were elite in terms of what Jones averaged when Fournette was out, what Fournette averaged when Jones was out. Wasn't a ton of games, but talking about a top, you know, an average of a top 8 running back. When they were in, they both played 10 games together, both healthy. Ronald Jones had 2 games with more than 13.5 PPR fantasy points, which is what RB24 averaged, okay? 13.5 PPR fantasy points. Ronald Jones had 2 games where he scored more than that. Leonard Fournette had 2 games where he scored more than that. One of them was one in which Ronald Jones got benched for fumbling. So they were not number 2 running backs, put it that way. They were at times number 3 running backs, at times worse than that when they both played. Is that what you think is going to be the case? I'll start with you, Heath. You think that if they're both healthy on a week-by-week basis that we are not looking at reliable starters?
Borderline starter for Fournette would be my expectation right now. In full PPR, I think he will probably be, if he plays 16 games, a top 20-ish running back. I mean, we don't know exactly what they're going to do, and we don't know. Leonard Fournette's had some fluctuations in his conditioning over the years, so we don't know exactly what's going to show up at the start of the season. Ronald Jones could fumble once, and Fournette could have a much bigger role. But I think right now you view Fournette as a borderline number two and Jones as a mid-range number three, a decent flex.
I'll ask you the same question, Adam, that I asked you on Friday, and Heath, you can answer this. Which backfield, and you can rank them if you want to, is better between Tampa Bay and the Raiders right now?
Right, you mean rank all four players?
Yeah, I mean, I have right now Jacobs and Fournette back-to-back with Jacobs one spot ahead, but I can't say that confidently Jacobs is going to be better given the current construct of what his team looks like and what the Bucs team looks like.
Yeah, I don't think I'm quite there on Fournette, Jacobs, but I would definitely go Jacobs, Fournette, Jones, Drake if it was me.
Yeah, that's why I have it right now. But yeah. I mean, again, you look at the offenses with what has taken place. Tampa Bay's offense is in much better shape. Workload, you would hope, is in Jacobs' favor, but it's no guarantee now that they brought in Drake. So I think that's where you got to look at it in terms of like a guy who's coming off of a pretty good season and where his status is right now in terms of Jacobs.
There's, in my mind, very little chance that Josh Jacobs would lose his job to Kenyon Drake. Whereas there are no guarantees with the Bucs running backs.
Agreed.
So that, I think, makes Jacobs a little safer.
But there's really almost no chance that Josh Jacobs catches 50 passes. And that's not too far from what Leonard Fournette's pace was when he was healthy last year.
I thought you said 56 targets?
So in 13 games.
Oh, in 13 games. Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good point,
too. We talked about Adam, you know, full offseason now. Full year of the team. You know, I mean, he was brought in learning everything on the fly with a new quarterback and everything that the Bucs had to go through. And so when things finally started to click for them, who was the guy that was doing the heavy lifting in the backfield? It was Fournette.
Yeah, I think that there's probably going to be an underrated upside with Fournette because there is like a, I don't know, 30% chance that Leonard Fournette this year is the feature back he was every year in Jacksonville now that he knows everything and Ronald Jones is his backup. And if that happens, then Fournette's probably a top 10 back.
Yeah, I would say that the main reason why Fournette was doing the heavy lifting when it counted was because Ronald Jones missed weeks 15 and 16 and then missed the first game of the playoffs. Did he miss the first game of the playoffs or was he just like...
He got injured in warmups.
Right. So I think he took advantage. He had an opportunity and took advantage of it for sure. But I don't... You know, like I said, he was inactive late in the year. They went to Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones was their guy. I don't want to keep saying this, say this every show. But I think
Bruce
it was...
Bruce Arians says it every month.
Yeah, that's true. That's the other thing is like Bruce Arians just does not trust Ronald Jones. So if you keep that in mind. Okay, moving on. We have an Apple Podcast mailbag on Thursday. We actually have a lot of questions in the fantasyfootball at cbsi.com inbox as well. So we're going to have a fun mailbag show on Thursday and also update some projections with Chris and Heath. But that's on Thursday. So get on Apple Podcasts right now. Leave us a 5-star review. Ask your question. Help us out, and we'll help you out. And it is still March Madness time, and it's madness time in the sports world in general. You got the NCAA tournament. That's crazy. But if you're a diehard sports fan, you need to know about every sport, right? And that's where CBS Sports HQ is your streaming answer. Just think about what's on tap this week alone. We got NFL draft and offseason coverage. We've got opening day. MLB opening day is Thursday. We've got Bellator 255 on Friday. I hope I said that right. We've got golf picks. Golf, I said that right, and highlights, and of course, unmatched breaking news coverage. So you listen to our show, and you know that when there's breaking news, we do a podcast. Well, that is like a CBS thing. We are the best source for breaking news, instant reaction, CBS Sports HQ. Check it out anytime something breaks. If it's fantasy, you're going to see Dave, Jamie, and Heath on CBS Sports HQ talking about it, but whatever it is. So anyway, get the CBS Sports HQ app. You can watch on your computer. You can watch on your phone on the CBS Sports app. You can watch on your connected TV like I do. Yeah, anytime I've got some spare time, I'll get the Roku and put on CBS Sports HQ, and you should too. The brewing scandal. I just don't see how this is possible. 890 total entries in our March Madness group, and Heath is in eighth, and he has the highest remaining point total. Shout out to Michael Yaff. Don't know how to pronounce your last name, Y-A-F-F-E. But you are in first place.
Yaffe.
Yaffe, sure.
Yaffe. Yeah.
I don't... Okay. Well, I'm going Yaff.
Yaffe, Taffy.
Yeah, there's no why there. But...
There is a why.
At the beginning of the word. Man, I should have known that, too, because Y was the letter of the day on Sesame Street the other day. But Heath's in eighth, so Michael, you have to fend off Heath. Heath, what's your secret? You have the highest remaining point possibility.
Well, I picked four teams to go to the Final Four, and they didn't lose yet.
Hey.
And so I think what I figured out this year is that if you can just pick the teams that go to the Final Four, it really helps your chances in doing well.
And who did you pick to win the whole thing, whole shebang?
I really went out on a limb, and I went with the team that hasn't lost yet this year, Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I've got them beating Houston in the finals. So I need the Zags and Michigan and Baylor and Houston to win the next four games. I think they'll all be favored.
I feel like if Gonzaga wins, you're going to win, because actually more people ahead of you do not have Gonzaga winning. Michael Yaffe Yaff has Houston winning.
I think there's a chance if it's Gonzaga and Baylor that I don't win.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that have Gonzaga and Baylor in the championship game.
Okay.
So all right. Now what happens with the prizes? Because Heath can't claim the prizes.
Heath, you'd be in the podcast league. Congratulations.
I have been looking through, like, and you know, we've got a long history of the excellent way we've managed the message board and the website for this contest in years past. And I've been looking through the rules, and I don't see anything in the rules that says I can't claim the prizes.
Well, you're a CBS employee, so you can't claim the prizes.
Oh, that's right. There are those prizes, not just the podcast league. A second place gets the podcast league spot. I don't know about the car and all those things. I don't think that's happening in our bracket. Okay, so more news. We had the wheeling and dealing of San Francisco, Miami, and Philadelphia. We talked about all this on the Friday bonus episode, so if you want to hear about it, I want to make sure we talk about the mock draft today. So just check out the Friday episode. But the Niners are picking third, the Dolphins are picking sixth, and the Eagles are now picking 12th.
And Jimmy Garoppolo is not being traded. Absolutely not. Never happening. No way.
Right, right. He might end up back on the Patriots. We will see. Baltimore signed Sammy Watkins. This is a one-year deal worth $6 million, reunited with Greg Roman, who was his offensive coordinator in Buffalo, where Watkins had his best season. Jamie, let's talk about this. And does this have a big impact on Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, and Marquise Brown?
Based on our FFT and 5, this you're setting me up because you have some
not really
great Hazer stats to say why Sammy Watkins is bad for everybody on the team. But no, I don't think so. I think Sammy Watkins is a clear upgrade over what they had behind Marquise Brown, you know, Miles Boykin, Devin Duvernay, Dez Bryant, that whole group. But Watkins has to stay healthy. Look, he's a better complementary option for Lamar Jackson to help him improve, but I don't think it's going to hurt or should, negatively, sway you on drafting Marquise Brown or drafting Mark Andrews. If you want to drop Brown a spot or two behind maybe somebody else that you like better, I'm fine with that. But I think he's still a borderline starter in non-PPR leagues, a number three receiver in PPR, and Andrews is still a top five tight end.
Wouldn't Brown be worse in PPR?
That's what I said.
You said?
Borderline starter in non-PPR, number three receiver in PPR.
Borderline starter meaning what? Number two,
borderline top 25.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, because we do so many three receiver leagues. I thought you meant
yes. I'm sorry. Four. Marquise Brown is a high end number three receiver in non PPR, a firmly entrenched number three receiver in PPR, but this is not going to change how I rank them.
All right, I'm coming at you. Marquise Brown has not been a top 40 wide receiver per game in either of his two seasons. He has not
had stretches of being better than that, though.
He's had great stretches. But those stretches are very touchdowny. It's not a lot of yards in those stretches. And now I think Sammy Watkins is going to get more than 50 targets.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah, but even if he does, it'll probably get 50 targets. You know, that's the thing. They haven't had a number three guy get 50 targets in the last 2 years.
They threw last year 59 passes to Willie Snead and Dez Bryant. Sammy Watkins has 59 targets once in the last 3 years.
Because
I don't see him going over 70 targets.
Right. Well, what do you think, Heath? Does this impact anyone in a big way? Is it really good for Lamar Jackson?
I don't think so. No, I don't. Like, I just don't think Sammy Watkins has a lot left or an ability to stay on the field very often. He might could help a little bit. I dropped Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews from 25% target share to 24% target share. I've got Sammy Watkins basically projected for 50 targets.
Okay.
I don't, and it could be like, maybe he'll revitalize his career here, but I don't, it doesn't, hasn't seemed like he's got a lot left.
You have to have him stay healthy. You have to have them throw the ball more. You have to have them make a decided and concerted effort from the coordinator, the coach, and the quarterback to go away from their top two pass catchers, which they don't seem to do when they have other guys on the field. And so this is still a run heavy team. This is still a guy that hasn't been able to stay on the field. It's just, it's a good signing because they couldn't get anybody else. You know, I mean, everything you heard about the guys that they tried to get, they couldn't get those guys. So, you know, get somebody that has a pedigree that, you know, has been on winning teams and, you know, has a relationship with the coordinator, and hopefully it works out. I mean, that's just the nature of where Sammy Watkins is right now in his career.
Right. Now, I think we can revisit this conversation if they draft someone, but I told you on Fantasy Football Today in 5, for those of you who listen, that I was going to make the case that this was bad for Lamar Jackson. The case I would make is just that I think Lamar Jackson might be better for fantasy when he is throwing less often and running more. And if they want to make him a thrower, yeah, it could help his passing numbers, but it could hurt his rushing numbers. And that's, I want to see him run the ball. I mean, he was so much better late in the year when he threw 20 times per game. He averaged 30 fantasy points per game in the last 5 games of the season. And he threw 20 passes per game. In his first 10 games, he threw 27 passes per game. It's not exactly apples to apples. I mean, he was much more efficient. His yards per carry went way up. The competition was easier. But it's weird. It just, for any, maybe any other quarterback, I'd want them to add weapons. I kind of want Lamar Jackson just to run the ball all the time. You know, how do you guys feel about that?
It's not a totally unique thing to Lamar Jackson. For, as a rule, pretty much, if you're a mobile quarterback, quarterback rush attempts are worth more than quarterback pass attempts.
Right.
So, and I think like the efficiency thing, you hit on the head. A lot of times when Lamar Jackson throws 20 passes, it's because 3 of them went for 35-yard touchdowns. And so he just didn't have that many attempts. But I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to really affect the run pass splits of the Baltimore Ravens.
Right. Okay.
It's also, he's now facing 4 times, arguably 2 of the best defenses in the NFL. Because even though the Steelers lost guys, I don't think they're going to have that much of a drop off. And they have the formula to sort of get after him a little bit because of their pass rush. And the Browns are getting better by the minute. And so those defenses are going to be tough on him. So how will he operate against them? Will he try to be more run heavy? Will they try and throw the ball more balanced? It's going to be interesting.
What I found even more interesting was, you know, Sammy Watkins was a pretty good number 3 receiver, not wide receiver because Kelsey, but number 3 option for the Chiefs. When he was out, the targets for Kelsey and Tyreek Hill were really good. So 2020, 5 games without Sammy Watkins, not including week 17 when Patrick Mahomes did not play. Travis Kelsey was on pace for 141 targets. Tyreek Hill was on pace for 163 targets.
And 16 game pace or a 17 game pace?
16 game pace. More on that.
You have to adjust the Azer stats computer.
I hate that. I'm not ready for that. Tyreek Hill, yeah. Tyreek Hill getting 10 targets a game. Travis Kelsey on pace for 141 targets. DeMarcus Robinson was 61 catch. He's on pace for 61 catches, 685 yards, 6 touchdowns on 74 targets, 20 more targets than Mecole Hardman. That was his pace without Sammy Watkins. And you go back 3 seasons, they played 7 games without Sammy Watkins, including 1 game where Watkins left after 5 snaps. And Kelsey was on pace for 162 targets, and Tyreek Hill was on pace for 153 targets. You see an uptick in production. DeMarcus Robinson was fairly productive in that stretch. So you did see an uptick in targets from Hill and Kelsey, and DeMarcus Robinson more relevant. Does that matter to anybody?
Well, I mean, again, you know, we're going to find out if it's DeMarcus Robinson who came back, stepping up into that role once again, or is this going to be Mecole Hardman this time?
What about the Kelsey Hill thing? Do you think they benefit from this?
When you're down bodies, that you trust, you're down a guy that, you know, has made plays for you at times. And as we saw in the postseason for the Chiefs, whenever Sammy Watkins was there, he was awesome. So it makes sense for Mahomes to lean on his top 2 guys. But, You know, I mean, Andy Reid's certainly going to, you know, draw up some plays for Hardman and for Robinson, but which of the two will be better now that Watkins is gone? I hope it's Hardman, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Robinson.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's just hard to move the needle too much because like Kelsey's basically been a 9-target-per-game guy two of the past three seasons for the whole year.
Right, yeah. It's more Hill. I mean, if you gave him 160 targets, it wouldn't be a massive increase from what he was on pace for. It would be pretty significant, though. And that would be,
it'd be enough to make him the number one wide receiver.
There you go. All right, more news. 17-game season. How are we feeling about that? Good, bad, indifferent?
Like it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Going to be interesting to see how they do the bye weeks. You know, is there going to be two bye weeks now for each team? And that'll make things a little bit more challenging. Fantasy playoffs now will start in week 15. Again, you know, depending on how the bye weeks go. So it's going to change how plan your vacations maybe, you know, toward the end of the season, end of the year. But in any event, more games is fun.
Really hopeful, and I don't know if they will or not, but really hopeful this, like we get, I think the talk is maybe we get rid of one preseason game. And I'm hopeful that means we shift the start of the season forward and not move the end of the season back.
I agree.
No, they're not going ahead of Labor Day.
Well, Labor Day, they don't play on Labor. Labor Day is before the season starts, right?
Yeah. They're not going to play before Labor Day.
They can play on Labor Day weekend like college does.
I doubt they do that.
Oh yeah, but like once you get into the new year, we don't need a regular.
Ideally, I think the NFL wants to get to President's Day weekend.
So wait, if they have two bye weeks, that means we're gonna have a 19-week season.
I don't think we're doing two bye weeks. Didn't they come out and say that we're not doing that?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'll try to find it.
Okay. Some more signings. Minnesota signed cornerback Mackenzie Alexander. He's a former Viking. Now he's back. Defensive tackle Tyson Alualu is back with Pittsburgh. He had agreed to a deal with the Jaguars, changed his mind going back to the Steelers to play nose tackle. The Patriots, according to The Athletic, they really are hell-bent on getting a quarterback, so don't assume too much for Cam Newton at this point. Their intent is to trade up for a quarterback or pursue a veteran, someone like Jimmy Garoppolo. Kansas City expected to sign.
He's not available.
Yeah, right. Kansas City expected to sign defensive tackle Jaron Reed from the Seahawks to a 1-year, $7 million deal. San Francisco signed Mohamed Sanu. The Raiders signed Willie Snead. And the Chiefs re signed DeMarcus Robinson. All of them.
Snead played offensive line?
I don't think so. I'm going to say no on that. Probably one of the worst wide receivers to play offensive line, I would guess. All right, we've got a mock draft to tell you about. So it was a 12-team PPR league, and we're going to focus a little bit on the free agents. A lot on the free agents and where they went. They're the players who were impacted by what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire going 19th overall, those kinds of things after Damian Williams was released. So, Jamie, I'll give you the first word here. What really stood out to you when you looked at this mock draft?
As I said to you on FFT and 5, you know, the things I was looking for were the free agents and the guys who changed teams and the players who were impacted by free agents joining their team. So, you know, where did Kenny Golladay go? Where did Will Fuller go? Where did the guys who stayed home go? Juju Smith-Schuster, for example, Aaron Jones, you know, he was a top 10 overall selection, which is kind of what I expected. But, you know, guys like Terry McLaurin, who got a new quarterback, the Rams receivers by getting Matthew Stafford, you know, things like that. So that's what I was looking for the most. And just to see where the free agents were ending up in what rounds and what selections.
Jones went 10th overall, Aaron Jones. This is a three receiver PPR league with a flex. And he was 21st when we drafted in January. So up 11 spots to 10th overall. The biggest movers I mentioned sort of at the top of the show, Mike Davis. What did you think of that? Mike Davis, 59th overall, so second to last pick of round 5 in this 12-team league, and he was just a handcuff in January, so he was up 8 rounds. Biggest mover. Heath, was that a good spot for Mike Davis?
It's a couple of rounds earlier than I had him. I was actually, I think I picked right after that, or right before that, one of the two. And I was really wanting to take David Johnson, but I knew nobody really wanted David Johnson. Then when I saw Mike Davis go, I think he went right before I took David Johnson. I felt a lot better about it then.
Okay. And TJ Hockenson was my pick. and he was up 30 spots, I think I said, 33 spots. So he went 93rd overall in January and 60th overall.
There was a rush for the middling tight end ones, right? Like, I feel like most of them went earlier than they had in the past draft.
Well, let's see. I don't like the word middling. I'm pretty excited about Hockenson. This was my personal favorite pick on my team. I didn't think I was going to get
Dallas Goedert like five picks later. I was thrilled about that as well.
And then that was Goedert and Hockenson were the last tight ends I was probably going to take until one of my last picks. So with the 12th pick in the draft, I knew I didn't think I was going to get him when I passed over. Was Andrews on the board? When did Andrews go?
No, Andrews was gone.
I know he was gone at 60, but when did he go? He went 39th. Right. So I had the, getting thrown off. Okay. No, I did pass over Andrews at the 3-4 turn, and Heath, you took him two picks later. I was very happy that I was able to get Hockenson 60th overall. You took Andrews 39th overall. I don't think there was a tight end in between the two. So there wasn't. So do you feel okay with Andrews 39th overall?
Oh yeah, I do. I think, and like, he might have not been the top player on the board after the small ding that I gave him for the Sammy Watkins signing. But no, I still think he belongs in that top four, and that there is a distinction between those guys and the group that I referred to as middling. But maybe I should have said ascending.
I
think assuming that, you know, Goedert is in the spot that he's in, depending on what the Eagles do at wide receiver, I think Andrews, Hockenson, and Goedert are closer together than Andrews is to the top three guys.
Your response, Heath? Remember, this is PPR.
Right. No, I don't have them in that way. I've got him in the top four tier just because we've seen him give us that type of, like, that 200 point tight end season.
Yeah. I mean, he's just touchdown dependent. So if he doesn't score, you're going to be disappointed. If he scores like he did 2 years ago, you'll be fine.
All right. So other players,
even last year, he was better than Hockenson considerably better on per game basis.
Oh,
right?
I would have expected him to be better than Hockenson, but Hockenson now has the receiving court to himself.
All right. Well, let me see.
Hockenson scored five more points in two more games.
Andrews was at 12.2. Hockenson was at 11. That's a big difference. In between them was Robert Tonyan and Logan Thomas and CJ Uzama.
If I was drafting based on last year's stats, I would have taken those numbers, but I'm not drafting based on those stats from a year ago.
Right. So, but you think the loss of Marvin Jones, because Galladay barely played last year. It was just Marvin Jones.
I think everything is factoring into TJ Hockenson's favor. Again, this is the setup that we look for and we love. You know, so Andrews is better. Andrews should be drafted ahead of Hockenson. Andrews should not be drafted this far ahead of Hockenson in this format.
Okay. Chris Carson up four picks from 40th in January to 36th. I'll just go with the guys with dramatic drops. Josh Jacobs, he was drafted 20th in our PPR draft in January. He was drafted 38th overall. And by the way, we did this before, as Heath said, we did this before the Sammy Watkins signing. We also did this before the Leonard Fournette re-signing. So keep that in mind. But that has nothing to do with Josh Jacobs. He was down 18 spots. He went two picks ahead of David Montgomery, who was 40th overall. I don't know. Maybe
Montgomery also lost this offseason.
This must have been after the Damian Williams news?
Yes.
Yeah. So what did you think of that? So who would you rather have, Josh Jacobs or David Montgomery?
I'll take Jacobs.
I'd rather have Montgomery.
All right, I'm going to make you guys give reasons. Heath, why Jacobs over Montgomery?
I think we already had the concern about Tariq Cohen, and then the Damian Williams thing maybe won't matter a whole lot, but I do think that currently right now the Raiders are going to have a better offense than the Bears are, and I think that there's a little bit more upside for Jacobs.
And Jamie, your rebuttal?
I mean, I don't really want either of these two guys, to be honest with you, but okay. I've seen Montgomery's ceiling and I see where he can get to. Jacobs has yet to reach a ceiling. I don't know if he's ever going to get there on this team. So Drake is better by himself, I think, than Tariq Cohen and Damian Williams at this point. I think he's going to cut into Josh Jacobs enough that it's going to make it a bad situation all the way around. Drake, by the end of the season, can end up being the best running back for the Raiders.
And the running back who went just before them was Chris Carson. I think we're all cool with Carson ahead of Jacobs and 100%. Montgomery. And the running back who went after them is Melvin Gordon. He went 46th overall.
I would take Gordon over both.
And that's up 17 spots. He's another big riser here. Melvin Gordon, 46th overall. When we drafted in January, he went 63rd overall. It's just weird. I never know if you're supposed to do these, like, assuming, oh, they're going to add someone, or just assuming what's on paper now, you know? So, I don't know. Do you think Melvin Gordon is going to be a feature back for Denver? And Jamie said he would take Melvin Gordon over Montgomery and Jacobs. Heath, what about you?
I don't think I would. I think I've got him pretty closely projected to what his workload was last year. He's kind of reached, not kind of, he's reached the age where we can see the cliff coming, and it might not happen in the age 28 season. Maybe it won't happen until 29 or 30, but it's close enough that I'm not going to project a big increase in workload over what he's had the last, well, the last year for sure on a per game basis, but he hasn't been a 250 touch guy since 2017 because of injuries and other circumstances.
Okay, let's talk about Kenny Golladay. He went 54th overall. That was down 15 spots from when he went 39th overall back in January. And Golladay was part of a part of the draft that we really need to talk about a little bit more, because is this going to shape your strategy? The round five wide receivers, arguably the best value picks in the draft. The entire round is pretty crazy. This is picks 49 through 60. Josh Allen, DJ Moore, CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp, Kenny Golladay, Brandon Ayuk, Deontay Johnson, Kyler Murray, Brandon Cooks, Mike Davis, and TJ Hockenson. That is a really sexy round. Jamie, what do you think about Golladay being in that range now? Down, what did I say, 15 picks, I think? 54th overall.
It's the right spot for him. I do appreciate Deontay Johnson falling to me with the 8th pick in this round. I was thrilled about that. I'm sure Heath was thrilled with Cooks 2 picks later. This is the range he's going to go in. You know, this is the hopefully Daniel Jones doesn't ruin Kenny Golladay spot. But I don't think he's going to go much further ahead of this group. Like, you can make a case over Kupp and over Lockett based on what those guys either showed you last year or what has been added to, for example, the Rams receiving core. But, you know, Golladay, if he's healthy and if Daniel Jones connects with him, he's going to be a great steal in this spot. But he also could be, you know, a little overdrafted if Daniel Jones and Kenny Golladay don't get on the same page right away and Golladay gets hurt again.
Heath, are there any wide receivers that went ahead of Kenny Golladay that you would have put behind Golladay? So that would be DJ Moore, CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp, just in this round.
Yeah, I think I've got more, like, and I'm not, most of these guys, this is exactly where I have them. I think I have more Golladay, Deontay Johnson, and Brandon Cooks all as 5th round picks. And I don't have them in this order, right? Like Jamie said, I've got Cooks and Johnson at the top of that list. But I do have more just behind Robbie Anderson. And I actually, in full PPR, have Lamb behind him as well. Just because I have a hard time with everybody healthy in Dallas projecting enough targets to get CeeDee Lamb up to a good level in PPR. So Lamb would probably be the one that went ahead of him that I wouldn't.
Okay. And by the way, when you have Cooks number one, you're assuming Deshaun Watson is his quarterback? Well, number one
I
in that
group. I still have Deshaun Watson as his quarterback, yes.
Okay. Jamie, when you took Deontay Johnson, first of all, Juju Smith-Schuster going a round ahead of Deontay Johnson. Juju Smith-Schuster 45th overall. Too early?
A little bit. I mean, I think Juju's more in this group than he is the group ahead.
When you took Deontay Johnson, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, that was your 5th round pick. What did you have on your team at that point?
Well, I started with 3 running backs. I started with Eckler, Akers, and Antonio Gibson. And then my first wide receiver was Amari Cooper. So I was looking wide receiver here. I was looking at Deontay Johnson. I was looking at Ayuk. I thought he would still be there. Ben Trager had a good pick there of him. I like Deontay better, but Ayuk is in that range. Cooks was in consideration as well. And I was giving some consideration to the quarterbacks at that point also. But I was hoping for one of those receivers, but I have Deontay Johnson as a starter in PPR. And so to get those 3 backs, Cooper and Deontay Johnson, my first 5 picks, I was thrilled how that worked out.
Yeah, and then you got Dallas Goedert with your sixth pick. I think we'll break down our teams a little bit more later, but if you're just wondering, hey, what would my team look like if I started with three running backs? You only have to start two, but one can obviously be a flex. Well, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson as your number one and two wide receivers is pretty good, and the rounds four and five wide receivers, it's just the way it worked out here anyway, it was just loaded. And quarterback, if you want to go quarterback in that range, you can have your pick of just about anyone. Not going to be Mahomes.
The position is loaded. Wide receiver is loaded. You know, so it if you don't want to necessarily load up at receiver early, it's not bad. It's not a bad strategy to get, you know, three top 12, top 15 wide receivers. But, you know, you're able to sort of go off that position a little bit more, as we see now year over year, and still get away, come back to it, and get good talent.
Can I tell you who I think maybe the best value right now is, and tell me what you guys think about it, Tyler Boyd, 75th yep. overall. I don't understand it. He was on pace for 107 catches, 1,111 yards, and five touchdowns with a healthy Joe Burrow before the Washington game.
So not to interrupt you, Adam, yeah. but just for full disclosure. So I was drafting for that team. It's if you're looking at the results, it's Jack Capitordo. He's one of our producers. It was March Madness. He was a little slammed. NBA trade deadline day, I think, is when we drafted as well. So his three receivers, I believe, are A.J. Brown, C.D. Lamb, and Tyler Boyd. And I love that with how it worked out for him.
Well, who are his running backs? Dalvin Cook, Miles Sanders.
He's got Dalvin Cook, Melvin Gordon, and I think maybe Miles Gaskin or somebody
no,
else.
No, he has Dalvin Cook, Miles Sanders, and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, with those three receivers. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. His quarterback is Ryan Tannehill.
So that's where he got in trouble because picking right before him was another one of our producers, Andrew Ballmer, and I waited. Joe Burrow was there. He already had Aaron Rodgers, and so they picked back-to-back. He took Burrow as a second quarterback, and so he got Ryan Tannehill, which isn't awful, but obviously it's not as good as what Burrow's upside could be.
Wait till round 14. You're playing with fire there at quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. That was the one thing. When it's funny, like whenever I draft for somebody and I send them their teams, the first thing obviously you see is a quarterback. And so he was like, ugh, I hate it. I was like, just look.
Yeah, that's true. All right. By the way, I will put a link to the article that has all these draft results in the episode description. I should have mentioned that earlier. I'm sorry. But if you want to follow along, there's a link to this draft in the article. Or sorry, in the episode description. Okay, just a few more things here. DJ Chark, he went 60th overall in January. He went 78th overall. One pick ahead of Curtis Samuel, who was up 30 picks from January. And two picks ahead, Curtis Samuel was two picks ahead of Chase Claypool. In fact, we have this run from 78 to 83 overall of four wide receivers who were affected in some way by free agency. DJ Chark, you add Marvin Jones. Curtis Samuel, new team. Chase Claypool, Juju surprisingly comes back. Robbie Anderson, you lose a wide receiver there. So Chark, 78. Curtis Samuel, 79. Claypool, 81. Robbie Anderson, 83. Heath, who's your favorite? How would you rank them? Chark, Samuel, Claypool, Anderson.
You know, you don't have to ask who my favorite is in this group. Robbie Anderson's a part of this group. I have Claypool and Chark basically right in this range. I think I have Chark a little bit ahead of this range, Claypool a little bit behind. But I would actually go Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, DJ Chark, Claypool. Chark's the one I feel the least comfortable about because he has shown us some things that make him look like, you know, I mean, if he gets a great quarterback, he could be a true number one wide receiver, but there's also some pretty significant risk there, it feels like.
Jamie, how about you? Strong thoughts at all on Chark, Samuel, Claypool, Anderson, all going within six picks?
I think this is the range for him. I took Sutton in the middle of that, you know, so if you just want to add another receiver into the conversation. But, you know, Claypool is, you know, a guy that had so much upside before Juju came back. I don't know if he still has the same upside, but I don't know if he loses that much just because he's different than the other two guys, you know? So if Ben is going to, you know, challenge down the field a little bit more, this feels like the guy that's going to win the most as a result of that. But Samuel, you know, hopefully he continues to build off what he did last year. Anderson has the opportunity probably to lead this group in targets. Chark might have the highest ceiling of the bunch, as Heath said, you know, Trevor Lawrence coming in. Hopefully this is the guy he leans on the most.
How much better is Tyler Boyd, 75th overall, than this group, which began with Chark at 78th overall? Is it a big difference in PPR?
If they stay as they are currently rostered, yes, on their NFL teams. Because, I mean, Boyd and Higgins are the guys there. Are they going to add somebody in the draft? You know, there was they lost two guys. You know, it's not just AJ Green. They lost John Ross, too. You know, so for whatever those guys contributed last year, you know, now Higgins and Boyd get that much more opportunities.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather have Boyd than Chark and Claypool and PPR. I've got him in the same range as Robbie Anderson.
Corey Davis went 92nd overall. In January, he went 65th overall. Is he better or worse now than he was in January, Corey Davis?
I think it remains to be seen, TBD, because we don't know the quarterback there.
I had more hope. I may have been the one that took him in January. That seems too way too high, but no, I had more hope before he went to the Jets, but there's things that could change that.
Okay. I'm going to read you the first two rounds of the draft, just in case you're curious. Then we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll kind of recap our teams and see how things unfolded and give you some strategy thoughts. So 12-team PPR, three receivers and a flex. McCaffrey, Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, 5, Kelsey, 6, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, Tyreek Hill. That's round one. Round two, Nick Chubb, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, James Robinson, Cam Akers, George Kittle, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darren Waller, Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, Michael Thomas, and Justin Jefferson. That is your top 24. We're going to take a break. When we come back, how did our teams look at the end of the draft? What strategies, if any, did we follow? What lessons did we learn? That's up next on Fantasy Football Today.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Very excited to be talking to you on this Monday, but I'm more excited for Thursday. That is opening day. Baseball is back. If you need any last-minute fantasy baseball prep, I have two drafts this week. I have one tonight, one on Wednesday. Make sure you listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. That's with Frank Stanfill, Scott White, and Chris Towers. It's the best way to stay up to date on the biggest news items in fantasy baseball in 5 minutes or less. Download and follow Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 anywhere you listen to this podcast. So, Jamie, did you have any strategies that you were trying for in this draft? I mean, you did go 3 running backs. That's pretty eye-opening there. Any takeaways from that?
I think I've done that in all 3 mock drafts that we've done so far. You know, if it works out this way every time, I'm going to do it every time. So, you know, I got 3 of my top 15 running backs in the first 3 rounds. And then I just, you know, when I got to Antonio Gibson in round 3, and I saw the receivers that were left on the board. And so at the time when I took Gibson, and again, I'm not saying Gibson's better than these guys. I just think for building your team, this is the approach that I like. Like Allen Robinson, Terry McLaurin, those are better options, but I don't know if they necessarily fit with how my roster construction is going to be. So Robinson, McLaurin, Cooper, who I ended up taking, Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, Robert Woods, you know, Juju, those are all the receivers that went next. And so I just looked at it and said, okay, if I take Gibson here, I still have the opportunity, you know, picking in 10 more picks that I can still get one of those guys, or T. Higgins or DJ Moore or CeeDee Lamb, or all guys that I like and I think are all kind of in a similar range. So that's why I did that.
So who's your, okay, let's take a look at your full lineup then.
So my first 3 picks again were Eckler, Akers, Gibson.
Right. And those are your two running backs in your flex. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert at quarterback. Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton at wide receiver. Dallas Goedert at tight end. And the Dolphins DST. This is a very good team. I don't see any weaknesses, Heath. Do you?
I was preparing my answer for my own team, so I didn't hear anything you said about Jamie's team.
Justin Herbert, Akers, Eckler, Gibson at flex, Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton at wide receiver, Dallas Goedert at tight end.
No, it's a very good team.
It is good, yeah. Do we like the bench? Josh Reynolds, that's a nice one. Mecole Hardman, Darnell Mooney. Would you, by any chance, would you consider now DeMarcus Robinson instead of Mecole Hardman?
I think you could project DeMarcus Robinson to score more points, but there's still hope that Mecole Hardman comes into his potential. Like, he's still at that stage of his career where it's possible. So I wouldn't actually draft Robinson over Hardman. No.
This is a floor ceiling situation. The floor is right now for Robinson, but the ceiling, if Hardman is used properly, can be a potential starting fantasy wide receiver. That would be at the expense of Hill and Kelsey if that happens, but not to a detriment to them that you'd be avoiding them. But I think if Hardman hits, you're going to be thrilled with having Hardman on your team. So like whenever I have a situation like this, Adam, when I feel comfortable with my starting lineup and I was really comfortable with my starting lineup, I'm taking swings at defenses with my bench options, especially at a position, in this case for me, which receiver, that I needed maybe some home run potential. Because if Sutton is lost in the mix coming off his ACL, if Deontay Johnson is, you know, lost in the mix and Ben is terrible, Cooper obviously loses to Lamb and Gallup and, you know, Darwin back healthy. You know, there's flaws with all three of those guys, which is, you know, obviously based on how I built my team, that's something I expect. But, you know, I'm trying to backfill that with some guys that can maybe be home run plays, in which case Mooney could be that guy based on what he showed in flashes as a rookie, and hopefully Dalton makes him better. Hardman can be that guy if Sammy Watkins' absence opens up that opportunity for him. Reynolds now going to the Titans, taking over Corey Davis's role. If that happens and he has a similar type of season, you know, all three of those guys have the chance to be borderline starting options, if not higher.
Okay. And Heath, you had the 10th pick. You took Aaron Jones in the first round. Did you have any objectives when you went in?
Yeah, I always map out a 6-part plan that I'm going to follow regardless of what the rest of the league does.
Right.
And so step one was that I wanted to be balanced. I felt pretty confident I was going to end up with Patrick Mahomes in round three. And I did. And I guess the strategy that I took to start was that I have a quarterback and tight end in the first 4 picks. And generally speaking, that makes it a little bit more difficult to build depth / talent at both running back and wide receiver. And it was a challenge again, but if Patrick Mahomes is what he's been the past 3 years, and he's 4 points better than every other quarterback, and Mark Andrews is 4 points better than most tight ends, then you can be a little bit worse at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, his team is interesting. It's not as balanced, I guess. I think that's fair to say, as Jamie's, because he did take Mahomes and Andrews in rounds 3 and 4, but it's Mahomes, Aaron Jones, David Johnson, Andrews at tight end. Wide receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, and T.Y. Hilton. And Raheem Mostert is your flex. You like it?
I like it. I don't love it. There were a couple of times where I thought I was going to get somebody coming back at the turn, and RJ took them. There were a couple times where I probably guessed the wrong guy that I could get to come back to me. But I like there's some upside on the bench. I like the combination of Michael Gallup and Jamison Crowder, because I think Crowder gives you a pretty solid wide receiver 3 floor, and Gallup could be one injury away from being a great top 20 wide receiver. So I like the way I kind of covered that. The thing that'll probably come down to is David Johnson and Raheem Mostert. Like, if those guys are actually starting running backs for 12 to 15 games, then this team is going to be really good.
The thing I think that we need to probably hammer home a little bit more that we don't do necessarily as great a job of is, like, Heath has great cornerstones if everybody's healthy. Mahomes is a stud. Andrews has the potential to be a stud, but he's in that group of guys that we talked about. You know, whether he's close to the top 3 or closer to 5 and 6, he's right there. Hopkins is a top four receiver, and Aaron Jones, again, if they're all healthy, those guys are stars. And so, you know, this is, you know, maybe extends out a little bit, you know, to, you know, like you said, I have more balance maybe, but maybe I have one or two more safer options, but like, those are going to be guys that are never benched on his team. And that's, yeah. I think, you know, how you should approach when you're building your team is like, how many guys are you never going to bench in an ideal situation? And then what do you do along with that? Like, what chances do you take? What swings do you take at high upside players? You know, so like, you can argue, obviously, David Johnson and Raheem Mostert, are they high upside players? I mean, that's debatable, clearly. And I think Heath would recognize that. But if he has number one quarterback, maybe number, well, I mean, Aaron Jones has been a number two running back. Number two running back. Hopkins has been a number one receiver, and Andrews has been a top three tight end.
Well, Aaron Jones has been a number one running back. The number two. He's been top five, yes, 2 years in a row. Yeah. Right. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting, Jamie, because, you know, you took Antonio Gibson 32nd overall. Heath took Patrick Mahomes 34th overall. And I mean, based on what you were saying, I mean, should you just have taken Mahomes, or are you that confident in Antonio Gibson that he's going to be a cornerstone?
I'm that confident in Antonio Gibson, but it's also then, you know, you're also looking at position scarcity. And so, like, you know, I look at the way I, you know, again, my approach to this was, okay, if these guys all hit, these three guys, which, you know, running back is so volatile, but if they all hit, they could all be number one running backs, you know? And so that's kind of the way I was looking at it. Like, I don't anticipate benching those guys, which is why I didn't really focus on a lot of depth at running back compared to wide receiver based on how I built my team.
Okay, and I had the 12th pick and took Tyreek Hill and Nick Chubb. My objective in most drafts is going to be get a top seven quarterback and a top five tight end. If I can't get a top seven quarterback, I'd like a top nine quarterback. Seven for me is probably Russell Wilson, and then after that, it'd be Herbert and Rodgers. So those are the guys I want. I could see by the time the season comes around, including Jalen Hurts in there, including Taysom Hill if he's the starter. I don't know if it'll be any deeper than that, but that's a lot of players.
If you're drafting right now, are you including Deshaun Watson in that?
Yes. Did I forget someone? Because Watson.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah. Yes. It's a hard one. It's a tricky situation to navigate, but yes, I would include Deshaun Watson in there. So I'd like a top six or seven quarterback. I'd like a mobile guy. If I can't get one of those, Herbert and Rodgers, my backup. And I'd like a top five tight end. If I can't get a top five, five would be Hockenson. Goddard would be six for me. I was able to pull this off with my fifth and sixth round picks, with picks, 60 and 61, Lamar Jackson and TJ Hockenson. And that really made me feel a lot better about my team. So Lamar Jackson's my quarterback, Nick Chubb and Chris Carson at running back, TJ Hockenson at tight end, Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin at wide receiver. I don't love Odell Beckham as my number three receiver, but, you know, it could be worse. And Tariq Cohen is my flex.
But isn't that the perfect scenario to have him?
You could say that. Let me see who went around him. I think I just wanted other guys that went right before him. Oh, yeah. This was right after the Chark, Samuel, Sutton, Claypool, Robbie Anderson group. I would have preferred Claypool and Sutton. So I thought wide receiver got a little bit thin there. That was the end of round seven. But that's fine. And Tariq Cohen, 85th overall, is my flex. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's the price you pay when you go with Lamar Jackson, TJ Hockenson and with picks 60 and 61. I like my team overall with Carson and Chubb at running back, Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin, Jackson, Hockenson, holding it down. Not bad. Somehow I ended up with the Falcons DST. That was an auto pick. there you go. And I took some year two wide receivers because you know me. I have Denzel Mims and Jalen Reagor. One of them will probably be a top five player based on year two wide receivers. And that is our mock draft. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. That's our mock draft. Check out the link and the write-up on our website on cbssports.com/fantasy. That's going to do it for today's show. We will read some emails tomorrow. We will read a bunch of them on Thursday, plus your Apple Podcast questions. So get those reviews in. Thanks to Heath and Jamie and Ben Schrager. I'm Adam. Talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.